When a hashtag exploded across social media in October 2017, Tarana Burke awoke to find her life's work suddenly thrust into the spotlight. For over a decade, she had quietly built a movement around two powerful words, Me Too. As thousands of tweets flooded her screen that morning, panic set in. Would anyone believe a Black woman from the Bronx had been building this movement for years? Yet amid her anxiety, Burke read a stranger's post describing how the hashtag helped her feel less alone, exactly what Burke had always intended. In that moment, she faced a pivotal choice: fight for credit or embrace the work unfolding before her eyes. The phrase that began with her had become an ocean of healing, flowing far beyond its origins. What started as one woman's journey to say Me Too had evolved into a global conversation that changed how we discuss sexual violence forever. But behind this movement lay a deeply personal story of trauma, resilience, and the courage to transform pain into purpose. You're too ugly. These words, spoken by a stranger when Burke was 7, embedded themselves in her young psyche. She studied her reflection obsessively as the word haunted her through childhood. By high school, she transformed this pain into armor, becoming sharp-tongued and quick-witted, using anger as both shield and prison. Later, on the subway, a man's initial attraction turned to disgust upon seeing her face. "You got a lot of mouth for an ugly bitch," he sneered when confronted. Though defiant externally, inside she crumbled, wondering how differently things might have gone if he'd found her attractive. The pain wasn't just about looks, it was about being denied basic humanity in others' eyes. At 7 years old, Burke experienced trauma from an older neighborhood youth. Despite her stepfather's concerned inquiries, she remained silent, driven by fear and a desire to protect her family. This led to emotional compartmentalization, as she struggled to maintain normalcy while processing inner turmoil. Additional incidents at ages 9 and 11 further impacted her developing sense of self. Without adequate vocabulary or guidance to process these experiences, Burke grappled with misplaced self-blame instead of recognizing her abuser's accountability. The advice she received focused solely on self-protection, offering no framework for processing trauma. During her teenage years, she silently carried these experiences while peers discussed intimate matters, profoundly affecting her self-image. These unprocessed traumas would later inspire her life's work, helping others find words for experiences they'd endured alone. Burke's identity was shaped by her third-generation Bronx upbringing in the early 70s. Her grandfather, Joseph Burke, a self-taught Black history scholar influenced by Marcus Garvey and Malcolm X, helped create a household that celebrated Blackness with intentional pride, weaving cultural education into daily life. Beyond the media's burning Bronx stereotype, Burke's community showcased resilience through resource sharing, informal childcare networks, and community gardens. These examples of collective problem-solving would later influence her approach to community organizing and healing work. Her stepfather, Mr. Wes, provided crucial stability and security for nearly a decade as a respected community figure. However, when he accidentally killed his son during a shootout and was imprisoned, the family's protective structure crumbled. This tragedy became a defining moment for Burke, revealing how vulnerable Black families remained, even with present protectors. At 12, Burke secretly read Maya Angelou's I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Reading about Maya's molestation was revelatory. Burke realized she wasn't alone in her suffering. Until then, she'd believed her experience was unique. In high school, she challenged her English teacher's dismissal of Angelou's phenomenal woman as jive talk. This led Burke to ponder how someone who endured trauma could still embody such confidence and joy, a question that became fundamental to her healing. After a difficult year of fights and suspensions, Burke transferred schools and embraced being the Black Power Girl. Through the 21st Century Youth Leadership Movement in Washington, D.C., founded by Rose Sanders, she learned to see herself as a young leader. While her grandfather had taught her Black history, 21C equipped her with tools to transform her anger into meaningful activism and community change. While working in Selma, Alabama, Burke encountered a 12-year-old girl named Heaven who tried to confide about her stepfather's abuse. Burke panicked and redirected her to another staff member. Heaven's disappointed response, asking if Burke was just going to walk away, struck deep as Burke watched the girl's protective armor return. This moment forced Burke to confront her own trauma. She began practicing in the mirror, finally saying aloud, "I was raped. They molested me." This breakthrough, combined with her work with young survivors in Selma, inspired her to create a program focused on building self-worth in Black and Brown girls. The final push came when Burke discovered a respected civil rights leader in Selma was a child molester who had abused his daughters, while community leaders had remained silent despite knowing. When she couldn't find resources for the affected girls, Burke heard a clear message, "It's you." Drawing from her own experiences, she began developing workshops, defining terms like grooming and shame, and collecting survivor stories. After her breakthrough in Selma, Burke moved to Philadelphia, where she developed her vision for supporting Black and Brown survivors. The Me Too concept evolved from notebook writings into workshops, then a traveling program, and finally a national campaign that drew support requests from survivors nationwide. A turning point came when Burke's child, Kaya, revealed being molested at summer camp. As they cried together, Burke shared her own story. "When I was a little girl, a similar thing happened to me. That's why when I tell you that you are not to blame, I know what I'm talking about." Kaya's response was immediate and touching. "Mommy, someone did that to you?" They embraced, with Burke promising, "I am okay, my baby, and you will be too." When #MeToo went viral in 2017, Burke observed that Black women were more hesitant to publicly engage, given their higher stakes. Years after Selma, she encountered her rapist in her old neighborhood. He didn't recognize her. Her mother's wisdom provided perspective. "No, he didn't recognize you because you turned out to be a smart, beautiful, accomplished woman despite him trying to take that from you." Despite facing hostility for speaking out, Burke remains dedicated to creating safety and healing. She shares her story for Heaven, for her younger self, and for all girls who must thrive in places where they were harmed. The movement transcends hashtags. It's about ensuring survivors never face their pain alone.